So as believers today, this is John MacArthur, and it was in one of our lessons. As believers today, we must have a spirit of determination and commitment to faithfulness, to constancy, to endurance, no matter how somber the road or how grievous the cost. We must restore the passion of Paul as we live in the 21st century, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This means not caving in, not capitulation morally, financially, or ethically, not giving up, not compromising on our theology, not ignoring the needs around us, and not conducting ourselves in arrogance or lacking in compassion. Many people can't be relied on to keep their promises. We break appointments. We fail to show up to meetings. We neglect to follow through with our commitments and obligations. However, we know that God is faithful and that He is true to His word and will be faithful to fulfill His promises. So we defined faithfulness many, many months ago, and some of you may or may not remember that section of our study, that we defined faithfulness as someone who's loyal and devoted, who's unwavering, uncompromising, and steadfast. And the last time I talked with you, we talked about Daniel. And most of us, probably all of us now, have read Daniel and many things that you would characterize Daniel as being. But I wanted to just refresh our memory a little bit about his example for us. Daniel trusted God and lived faithfully devoted to Him. If you remember, he was taken from Jerusalem as a young man, and he ended up in a very, very idolatrous world. He stood firm in his faith, even as he was placed in the lion's den. And we know these lions were hungry because what happened? Those to follow were consumed. The king identified him as a faithful servant of God by saying, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will save you." So he was known even by those pagans as someone who constantly served God. Daniel was an inspiring example of living a life in a sinful world. You know, he wasn't perfect, but his life was characterized by standing firm in his God-given faith and pursuing righteousness and continuing to serve God. Daniel was loyal and unwavering, uncompromised, devoted, and steadfast. He wasn't perfect, but his life was characterized by his faithfulness. And would we all be as steadfast and faithful if we were to face the many trials and testing of our faith as Daniel had? And I believe someday, and I keep saying this, someday in our country our faith is going to be tested. And we need to be prepared for that. I recently encountered just a small trial involving my car. And, of course, all of us women, most of us probably don't work on cars. But we know when something happens to our car and it's not running right. Well, my car's front end went out of alignment. And as it got worse, and again, I have a bad shoulder, so I was probably a little more sensitive earlier on. But I had to maintain really a grip on my steering wheel to kind of keep it from drifting into the other lane as I'm driving down the road. And it took a lot of concentration and effort, so I really couldn't relax my grip. I just really had to, you know, hold on. But I could feel the pull every time I got in the car to drive, particularly when I got moving fast down the interstate or the highway. And as I thought about this is the image I get when thinking about someone who isn't steadfast and who's distracted and pulled away by the enticements of the world or our selfish desires, sin. And in our inclination to sin, our hearts do go out of alignment in a sense. And we continue to have that struggle with sin, although we're not enslaved to it, until we're glorified with Jesus Christ. Our walk with the Lord is for a lifetime. And we must keep a steady hand on the habits and relationships that encourage us towards righteousness. Even more, we must continue to rely on the Holy Spirit, which enables us to be that steadfast and faithful servant to our Lord. And as true followers of Jesus Christ, we can never allow ourselves to become passive, because passive hearts and minds quickly forget what is true. So a life needs to be lived proactively And if we live a life proactively, we're going to have a greater possibility of being faithful and steadfast, so living a purposeful life. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 through 20, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do want, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me." And then in Galatians 5:17, Paul says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." When we sin, doing the things we do not want, we're told if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that sin and death have already been conquered and overcome. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we have victory over sin. We're victorious over sin because what? Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We overcome because of the strength imparted to us through Jesus and His finished work. So in verse 58 then of that same chapter, he says, "Therefore." Why therefore? Because we have a glorious hope. He's just talked about the fact that we're going to be resurrected and we're going to have incorruptible and immortal bodies to be in the presence of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain." So according to Paul in the early part of this epistle, he's writing to these folks who are straying. They're being pulled away by teachers who are teaching error and they're not standing firm on the truth. So we also looked at in our lessons about what does it mean to be a woman who's steadfast. So we define being steadfast as a woman who's fixed and established and constant and resolute, not fickle and not wavering. And of course, I'm not talking to those of us who tend to be really stubborn and firmly fixed in our own way and unwavering in our own selfish desires. But the steadfastness that Paul speaks of and all the other references we looked at to steadfastness means holding on to God's truth in what you believe. It means taking and sifting everything that we hear, everything that we read, everything that we do through the plumb line of God's word. In other words, taking what we're learning in Scripture and applying it to our life in obedience. And I like what Christy shared this morning, too, about how God revealed truth to her and what she saw in it and how is she going to apply it. And that's encouraging because that's what being a steadfast woman in the Lord looks like. It means that women are determined to live for the Lord and carry out what purpose the Lord has for us. And Becca was really good at looking at that. What as women, what is our purpose here? And God's word lays that out very clearly, what our purpose is and how we are to be faithful to the end with that. Being steadfast means resisting the devil when he comes to attack, with discouragement and with doubt and with deception. It also means that during trials, our faith remains constant and steadfast. And it doesn't mean standing firm without a progression or growth in our response to truth and in our faith. John MacArthur makes statements about this verse as well, in that Paul gives us this very statement that we're to be steadfast because it means moving forward in our walk. So I think if we look at the true definition of being fixed, that's why looking at the context is so important. Because we need to be fixed in our faith, but it's growing. We need to be fixed in what we believe is true, but our response to it is more consistent. So there's growth that's involved. And our hope for the future of our salvation should motivate us to be steadfast and immovable in our Lord. So why would steadfastness be important? And Becca mentioned those things as she spoke this morning too. Is that continuing the Christian life and being faithful to God and His truths are evidences that a person is truly born again. If you're living a life no different than the one you lived as an unbeliever, then your salvation really comes into question. As a believing woman, I've been rescued from the domain of darkness, and I have been transferred into the marvelous kingdom of His light. So as children of light, we need to live consistently for God. And we have a glorious hope. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about that, this glorious hope we have of being resurrected and given an incorruptible and immortal body to be in the presence of the Lord. And this hope and this fact should move us to be more steadfast and faithful in serving Him. We see in Acts that Satan and his demons were determined to stamp out and destroy the gospel of Christ. And he's still there working to interfere with our clear message of the gospel. And we see that in churches, non-churches, in the secular community. It really does put a greater importance on our faithfulness and standing firm in the truth of the gospel. And finally, but not the least of the truth in all of this, is that we're told to. We're told to be steadfast. We're told to be immovable. This is a command. So being obedient to God's will gives just great importance in our lives to respond in a way that is obedient. Although there's nothing that we can do or don't do that separates us from the love of God or that causes us a loss of our salvation if we lack obedience or we choose to sin, our intimacy with God and our testimony before man is affected. So therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain if it's in the Lord. The second thing Paul mentions here is being immovable, and that's being firmly persistent. And one of the resources we use in our group, and I've given to you ladies, is the Webster's 1829 online. And I loved his definition here about being immovable. It's defined as that which is not moved from a specific purpose. It's not moved from its place. This means unyielding, being unshaken, being undisturbed. The believer is not to be fickle, which means you're frequently changing loyalties and interests and affections in his service to the Lord. And we're to stand as a solid rock in our beliefs and in serving the Lord. John MacArthur, in this portion of Scripture, describes immovable as meaning never distracted to the side, which again kind of gives me that picture as I'm holding the steering wheel and how, or even that when Paul talks about I'm pressing forward, I'm not looking at what's behind me or the picture of getting distracted by others or things on the side, but just being straightforward and immovable with the purpose that God's put into our lives. And again, what I mentioned was interesting enough, both steadfast and immovable means that there's a forward toward kind of action that's involved. So the believer is always to abound in the work of the Lord, and always means at all times. And I know Sweet Jane, who is going to be 90, she's always faithful to pray for me, pray for my family, and that's a work in the Lord. I mean, she didn't turn 80 and then decide, I'm just not going to serve him anymore. She has found ways to be able to serve in her season of life, even giving me encouragement about being a mom and being a granddaughter and losing a mother-in-law. She's just been a tremendous encouragement to me, and I just see her as being a woman as an example, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And knowing that this abounding in the work is not just getting by with the minimal. It's really pouring our lives out. It isn't the idea of just doing enough to get by. It is the idea of doing as much as we can possibly do in the strength of the Lord. Again, we have a great motivation because we have a future hope in the future, and that we know our labor in the Lord is not in vain. In Ephesians 2:10, we're told that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Pretty amazing that every one of us sitting here that have a true saving faith, God has created a work for us to walk in. So what tends to affect our ability to be faithful and steadfast? And I've talked a little bit about that, but we can't stand upright and firm unless our feet are planted on what? Solid ground. And it has to be on the grace of God. If you've ever been out to the jetty, most of you maybe out in the jetty in Everett, you, when the water goes out and you head out thinking you're going after your children, remember, you know, before I know it, I'm knee deep in sand. And the more you try to, you know, get a leg out, that one sinks farther and you're just kind of stuck there. But there's no use in trying to be faithful and steadfast if you lack solid ground to stand on. First and foremost, you can't be faithful to God if you don't have that solid foundation in Him. So as an unbeliever, you may know a lot about Him, but you don't live for Him, then you're on shaky ground without a solid foundation. And then second, as sisters in Christ, I know we all experience times where we know we make the decision either affirms our devotion and faithfulness to God or confirms our sinful, selfish heart. And we fail to be faithful and steadfast and immovable when it comes to our spiritual walk with God when, first and foremost, we turn our attention off of God. When we lack and trust God for courage when He's asked us to do something that we need to be faithful to do. When we put others or things more important than God. When our feelings deceive what we think is true. We fail to be faithful when we lack fellowship with believers. When we fear man more than we fear God. And when we're not on the alert to the schemes of the devil. But thanks be to God that He sees us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We stand before God by His grace. He grows our faith, and He gives us strength and courage to stand firm, and He brings trials into our lives to cause endurance, which then bears the spiritual fruit of maturity. So in our lessons, we learned that as believers, we're called upon to be faithful to God, first and foremost in our love and devotion to Him, by consistently being in the Word and living a life of obedience, in laboring, serving Him. We are called to be faithful in our minds and in our prayer life and by resisting the devil and being on alert for him. No matter what may come or whoever may assault us, our confidence is in the revelation of God and Jesus Christ, which enable us to keep our feet on solid ground. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8-12, talking about the adversary who's the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion. If we could see that visual picture, you know, again, you've heard me say more than once, I'm visual. But to see that and say that we need to resist him and we need to be firm in our faith, and that's what I'm talking about this morning, is being firm in our faith, knowing that God is going to perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish us through the suffering, through the things that are going to come in the form of trials. And we can't be faithful, steadfast, and enduring merely by our own strength, though. God, through His Holy Spirit, gives us power to live a wholehearted life devoted to Him. Jerry Bridges talks about personal responsibility and in the aspect of, we've heard many people say that, you know, if you lay on the couch and say, I'm just not spiritually growing, and you've done nothing but sit there and eat bonbons, which I know none of us do. But I want to share this quote from him. Our faithfulness to be steadfast must depend completely on God, but we must also make every effort towards obedience. We hold a personal responsibility to obey God in all things. We're responsible in prayer, to read the Word, to discipline our minds, and to act biblically in every situation. Now, our most recent study in the book of James, again, because we've just looked at that, I didn't want to concentrate too much on it, but I wanted to connect a couple of dots for you. Really, this whole year was talking, we studied about being steadfast and faithful to the Lord. And I really wanted us to spend time in James, because it's hard to just take out a piece of James and look at that. But James really brings clarity to the brethren on what true, abiding, faithful, and steadfast living faith is. And that empty profession is not going to save anyone. James presented tests for real, genuine, saving faith, and each one saved is a test of faithfulness to God, who they're to live for. And that was James' theme. James demonstrated that true faith transforms and that faith shows itself in action. James served as an example of one who was faithfully devoted to God and whose service was used to extend and advance the kingdom in the early church. James speaks to the attitude by which we should all encounter trials. God uses these trials as a testing of our faith to help us grow our ability to be steadfast. And when you think about that, it's been said that farmers who plant trees, they plant specific trees that have really deep roots, because when the wind blows, it protects their crops. The trees, as they're being tossed back and forth with the wind, just intrinsically by God's design, grows roots deep so that they can stand firm. And I think that's the same with our trials. As we experience trials, viewing them in the light that they're going to help us to remain upright and firm under many adverse circumstances without collapse or cowardness, but we're going to be steadfast. And the result of this endurance and these repeated trials is so that we come to this beautiful picture of spiritual maturity, this beautiful picture of persevering and enduring and being steadfast during trials in this life brings future rewards. Every chapter provided tests where our loyalty lies with ourselves and our sinful desires or in our faithful obedience to Him. And I'm not going to go through every chapter because we got to do that last week. But we can certainly praise God that He is the one that first gives us the faith to believe. He faithfully provides situations that help grow our trust and dependence on Him and produces that endurance and, to the end result, spiritual maturity. But again, it takes action on our part too. God does not preserve us in this world through our own perseverance. And I really struggled with whether I was going to spend the whole morning talking about the perseverance of the saints. I decided that was, I couldn't fit that into a half an hour. But I did want to say that we're not preserved by anything that we do. We are not faithful and obedient because of anything that we do. It really all is God. God is great, and He does the work in us with a yielded and humble spirit. Paul, when he was writing to Timothy and he was in chains waiting to be executed, said, "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day." He believed that. Think about all the trials that he went through. And this is at the end of his life, of being able to say that he believed and knew that it was true, that God was going to keep him. Paul characterized a very faithful man to God. He, again, was not perfect, neither are we, yet he served the Lord and was obedient to death, and he knew that his salvation was eternally secure. Satan wants us to focus on our lack of complete faithfulness, or when we choose self over God and not obey. Satan wants us to be discouraged and make us ineffective or get pulled into the enticements of the world. So for some of you, I know this has been a really challenging studying God's Word this year, and you realize how far you fall short of being steadfast. Praise God that He sees each one of us as believers through the complete work of Jesus Christ. And God is faithful even when we are not. So consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be complete, perfect, lacking in nothing. And lastly, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Let's close. Father, I just praise you, Lord, for just the freedom we have in this country to come before you and to study your word. Lord, just the privilege we have of having multiple copies of scripture and digital and printed form and audio form, all those things that we have that I know we take for granted. And I was reminded after visiting a church last Saturday that we take for granted what we have here too. I just thank you for sisters in the Lord that hold each other accountable, Lord. I just thank you so much for our fellowship, for just the open and transparent discussions we can have about our struggles, and Lord, that we can encourage each other to remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in your work. I thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness when we're not. And I thank you that we can go to your word and know and have all the answers for how we are to live and bring honor to you. I thank you, Lord, that we don't do any of it in our own strength when we are doing it in the Lord. And I just thank you, Father, for how you will continue to use the word in our lives to make us more like you. Thank you, Lord, for our time of just hearing what you are doing in Christy's life and in Becca's life and in Kim's life, and I know for every woman that's here. And Lord, I also pray that if there is someone here who thinks she's a believer but yet is doubting and has been thinking through some of the things she's seen in James, that she would be moved by you to speak to one of her leaders or someone else, Lord, that she might know for certain today whom she serves. I just thank you, Lord, for our precious time of fellowship around our tables as we have lunch. In Jesus' name, amen.